If it stops working, well, then I'll just turn it off. But Brother Joe did a little job on it. I think if he would have had some duct tape, he would have used that, but he just used a little bit of ingenuity and kind of wrapped the cord up. So we'll try that, and if it doesn't work, well, then we'll try something else. We're going to be in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to look at verses 105 through 112. Verses 105 to 112. And the last few weeks we've been looking at the written Word of God and different aspects of it. I believe this is either the fourth or fifth message that we have about the written Word of God. And tonight we're going to look at the light of the Word of God. The light of the Word of God. It's a light to our feet and to our path. That's what the psalmist says in verse 105. And so that will be our main focus tonight, will be that verse right there. We're going to read all eight verses, but we'll be mainly focused on verse 105. We split it up into three portions there. And we will make some applications from the other verses around it, but 105 will be our main focus. I believe David is the author of the psalm. He says in verse 105, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end." Again, verse number 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The light of the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings toward us. We thank you for being good and gracious and kind to us, Lord. We are undeserving of your love toward us, and we thank you, Father, for it. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us this evening. We pray that you'd help us to place the proper emphasis upon your word and a proper emphasis upon you. Father, we pray that you lead us and guide us and direct us into the truth, Lord, that your Spirit would teach us. Father, we need you tonight to help us, and we just look to you for help. We pray that you would make this message edifying to us and to help us and strengthen us through it, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Light is essential for life. You have to have light. You can't do without it. I don't know if you've ever thought about how important that light is or how important the sun is. You probably wouldn't think about it a whole lot unless maybe you were being sunburnt by it, or maybe it goes behind the clouds and then you start to think about the sun. But light is essential and it's absolutely necessary for survival. You have to have it. You can't do without sunshine. You can't do without the light. I was having a discussion, I've had it more than once, with my son Michael, and he asked me, you know, what do you think would happen if the sun were to fall out of the sky? And to be honest, I really didn't know. I really don't know what would happen if the sun were to fall out of the sky. Now, I don't think it's going to, because God has placed it there and he's going to keep it there, and we're all going to rotate around it until he decides that it doesn't need to be there anymore. But what would happen if the sun were to fall out of the sky? Well, if the sun fell out of the sky, we wouldn't notice it for at least 8 minutes. So says my son, anyway. because it takes 8 minutes for light from the sun to reach the earth. And so we would still see the sun, we would still see light from the sun for 8 minutes if it were to fall from the sky. Light travels at 671 miles per hour. Well, that's fast. How do you calculate something like that? 671 miles per hour? I don't even know how you calculate that, but that's how fast the light travels. So it takes 8 minutes to get all the way here from the sun to the earth. And so if the sun were to fall out of the sky, well, we wouldn't know it for at least 8 minutes. But if it did, our planet would go out into the solar system and it would just spin out of control, because the sun is the dominant gravitational pull for all the planets around it. The reason that we are going around the sun is because the sun has such an intense gravitational pull. It keeps everything together and we rotate around it. But if the sun were to fall out of the sky, there would be total and complete chaos within our solar system, and we'd go all over the place. There would be chaos. Not only that, there would be complete and utter darkness. Now, we might see the stars. We couldn't see the moon, but we could see the stars and some of the planets. But there would be darkness. Couldn't see anything. And after a while, everything would just kind of freeze over because we would have no heat from the sun. And so, basically, our life is over. There would be no photosynthesis. Plants couldn't produce any food because of the sun's, and they use that photosynthesis to produce food through sunlight, and so we couldn't have any of that. So, basically, we have to have it in order to survive. We have to have sunlight in order to survive. That's an essential thing that we must have, kind of like breathing air. You have to have sunlight. We have to have it to find our way to live. It's very essential. So just like we have to have sunshine in order to live upon this planet, we have to have the Word of God in our life. It's an essential thing. We cannot do without the Word of God in our life. We'd shrivel up and we'd die spiritually speaking. We have to have the Word of God. We have to have something to lead us and to guide us, because we are not self-governing. We are not almighty, I guess you could say. We have to have God. We have to have the light of the Word of God to lead us and to guide us and to show us. Without the Word of God, there would be complete and utter chaos. Just like as if the earth would be spinning out of control, so our lives would be spinning out of control without the Word of God. We must have it. The psalmist says, the word of God is a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. You think about the time frame in which the psalmist lived, David, if he wrote it. Whenever they would go outside at night, they didn't have a flashlight, they didn't have a cell phone, they didn't have a vehicle where they could get into the vehicle and flip on their headlights and go driving around. They didn't have that back then. The only thing they had was a lantern, candle maybe. Something like that to go out. So if they went out at night, that's all they had. So the psalmist is thinking about the lantern that he used to go out. And he says, you know, the Bible is just like that. The written Word of God is just like that. It guides my feet. It guides my way. It shows me the path that I ought to take. That's the way that the Word of God is. We live in a dark world. We live in a world full of sinfulness and wickedness and ungodliness and Bible deniers and truth deniers, and it's getting darker and darker by the minute. It's not getting brighter, it's not getting better, it's getting worse and worse as the days go on. And if we don't have the light of the Word of God, you and I will become a casualty and a statistic of our society. We have to have the Word of God to help us, to light our way, and to show us the way that we ought to go. So what is the Word of God good for in a dark world? Why do we need it? Well, I'm going to give you three benefits of the light of the Word of God in a dark world. The first benefit that we have is illumination. Illumination. It gives us illuminating power. It lights our way. Number two, we have continuation. We can continue on the right path. It shows us the right way. Continuation power. Number three, there is destination. It gives us finishing power. We can finish our path. We can keep going down the right way if we have the light of the Word of God with us. The psalmist says in verse number 105, he says, "Thy word is a light and a lamp." It has light. It shows us the way. It gives us illuminating power in a dark world. It shows us which way that we ought to go. It gives you light or illumination. It is absolute light in a dark world. Shows us which way that we ought to go. Whenever God created the earth, the first thing that He did was He created light. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He goes on to say, the first thing that He did, the first day, He says, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, I can't really describe that other than that it's spiritual light. It wasn't the sun, because the sun was created a few days later. But in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." So it must have been some kind of spiritual light. What that tells me is that the first thing that a person needs, above all else, is light from the Word of God. We need teaching from the Word of God. We need to know who God is and what He requires. Before we are educated in anything else in this world, we need light from God's Word. Now, I'm all for getting an education. I'm all for learning arithmetic and English and history and all of that. That's great. You need to learn that. But before you learn anything else, you need to have light from the Word of God. You need to have spiritual light. And the Word of God gives us illumination. It illuminates our minds and our hearts. That's the first thing that we need, is to learn from God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Before you begin to become smart in anything else, you need to fear God. You need to know who God is and what He requires. You don't begin to get smart or learn wisdom until you learn about God. Education without the fear of the Lord is folly and damnation. Amen. Knowledge of God and the fear of God must come first, above all else. But yet man attempts to educate himself out of the Word of God, out of the existence of God. How? Well, by education, by worldly wisdom and science and philosophy and all of these different things. They educate themselves out of the knowledge of God. And they say, well, we are way too smart to believe in these archaic ideas that there is a deity in the sky that lives in heaven and He made us and He's going to require something from us. We're way too smart for that. We don't need that. I mean, we have the internet. We have all of these great philosophers in the past. We don't need to believe that there is a God. And they educate themselves out of God. But the only problem is they don't get smarter and better. They go down, down, down. Not better and better and upwards and onwards. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 that the world by wisdom knew not God. Worldly wisdom. He said, we don't need to know who God is. We don't even need to know anything about God. But what happens when man decides that he's going to educate himself out of God? Well, the Bible says that their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They began killing themselves. All of these different ways that man has destroyed himself by saying there is no God. If we don't have God's the revealing power of the written Word of God in our lives, we will destroy ourselves. And our knowledge of the world and our knowledge of God will be extremely limited if we don't have the written Word of God. It's illuminating power. It gives us light. It shows us the way that we ought to go. If God had not used men to pin down His Word and give us His Word and preserve His Word down through the centuries, we could not know anything about God. We can know that there is a God, but we couldn't know Him intimately. The psalmist, again, in a different part of this chapter here in Psalm 119, he says, "The entrance of Thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." To those who are not very smart, You can get you a good education out of the Word of God, and that's the most important thing. The Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I don't know if you've all have heard of the Dark Ages, but that was a period of time between the 5th and 14th centuries, and it was called the Dark Ages for a reason, because the Word of God was suppressed during those years. And you know what happened whenever the Word of God was suppressed? Societies did not flourish. Cultures did not flourish. Why? Because they were in the dark. Literature was stamped out. The Word of God was stamped out. And people were in darkness until the 14th and 1500s, whenever the Gutenberg press was invented. And then the Word of God was published freely, and it went out over all the world. You know what happened after that? The Enlightenment period happened. The Renaissance happened. Why? Because of the written Word of God. Anytime that the Word of God is published in a society and it's believed and it's obeyed, that society will flourish. That society will get better, more righteous. Great advancements will happen in science and culture. All of these different things will happen. But if the Bible is banned, you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to go down. That's what's happening today in America. It's getting worse and worse and worse because people are rejecting the Word of God and rejecting the Bible, and they're losing the light that they have. And we have everything that we need in this country. Freely, you can publish the Bible freely. You can get on the internet and read it. You can listen to preaching, all of these different things. And yet people are rejecting it. And they're not getting smarter. They're not getting more wise. They're going into darkness. What does the Word of God illuminate to us? What does it tell us? How does it illuminate? Shows us the difference between right and wrong. And we need to know that. Shows us the origin of all things. Shows us where we came from and where we're going. Shows us where we messed up and how we fell. Shows us our responsibility to God and the consequences of sin and the reality of a Savior. Shows us all of those things. The Bible's necessary. We can't do without it. We can do without a lot of things, but we can't do without the Word of God. We must have the Word of God. We cannot live without light. It is necessary. It's a gift of God. He's given it to us. The Word of God is illumination for the child of God in a dark world. It's a lamp and a light. So the Word of God not only lights your way, but it also helps you to continue down the right path. Now the psalmist says, it's a lamp and a light. What's it for? It's for your feet. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Why does the psalmist need to see his feet? The psalmist needs to see his feet because his feet are walking and because his feet is going down a path. And it illuminates his path and helps him to continue to go down the right path and continue to go without stumbling and falling. Because the psalmist is in a dark place. You ever tried to walk in the dark before? I've made some pretty big mistakes trying to walk in the dark. Walking through the house in the dark without my shoes on, and whoo, man, you stub your little toe. I almost thought I broke it a few times. I didn't have my cell phone out. Light in my way. Had no light. The Word of God helps us to continue to go down the right path. It lights our feet. We need to know not only where to walk, but how to walk. We need to know which path to take and how to take it. And the Word of God does these things for us. It helps us to continue to go down the right path. We need to know which path to take. There's a lot of different paths that you can take in life, isn't there? Boy, there's this path and that path and all different places that you can go. But the light of the Word of God helps us to see which path to take. The Bible says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Boy, he thought he was going down the right way, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We think about a young man in Proverbs chapter number 7. And he was wandering outside of his house, and it was at nighttime. And the Bible says that he was a simple man, didn't have a whole lot of wisdom. And he decided he was going to go out at night and he was going to kind of wander around. And you know where his steps took him? It took him to the harlot's house. And he went into the harlot's house and he did something that he shouldn't have done in the house. And the Bible says that his steps led him to hell. He should have followed the Word of God. He should have had the light of the Word of God showed him where to go. Not commit fornication like they're doing all over the United States today. They don't care what the Word of God has to say. They'll just do whatever they want to do. It's a sin. It's a sin against God. You do those things. The Word of God lights our way. There's different paths that you can go down. Jesus Christ talked of a couple of paths, didn't he? He was speaking in Matthew chapter number 7. He says, hey, there's a wide path, there's a broad path, and there's a narrow way. And he says, you better go down the narrow way because the broad way leads to destruction. He said, everybody's going down the broad way, and there's plenty of room, there's plenty of wiggle room, there's all kinds of places you can go on the broad path, and it might seem kind of fun, and everyone's going down that path, but the end of that path is destruction. But he said, go down the narrow path. Go down the straight path. Hey, it's a little bit constricted. There's not a whole lot of traffic on that road, but the end of that path, there's life. There's everlasting life. Did you know that Jesus Christ, He tells you, and the Bible as well, it tells you what's at the end of the path before you get on the path. It lets you know, hey, don't take that road. Don't take that path. There's destruction at the end of that thing. Take the narrow way. You know what the world will tell you? They don't tell you there's destruction at the end of that. They don't tell you there's destruction at the end of a life of drunkenness and debauchery and fornication and adultery. They glorify those kinds of things. They say, hey, it's fun. Why don't you come join us? There's death at the end of that. There's destruction at the end of that. Bible will tell you before you get on it. There's different paths you can take. You better have the Word of God to illuminate your path and help you to continue to go the right way. The Word of God will show you. How do we know which path to take? Well, the Word of God tells us. Jesus Christ, again, in Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 24, He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rocks. We must fear the Lord. You know what the Word of God will help you to do as you continue down that path? It'll keep you from stumbling. Well, there's lots of tripping hazards out there in the world, isn't there? Lots of things that you can stumble on. Sin, ungodliness, lies, all of these things. You can stumble over those things. The Bible will illuminate your path and keep you from stumbling. Man, you can continue to go without stumbling and stopping, having to pick yourself back up. You've got that light that will help you to continue to go. That's what the Word of God is there for. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They're stumbling around. They don't even know what they're stumbling over. They're just kind of fumbling around through life. They don't have the light of the Word of God. You know what they've got? They've got some kind of worldly thing that they think is light. They don't have the true light. We can all stumble in our Christian life. Thought of a couple of things that might make us to fall or stumble. You know what the first thing is I thought of? Living a life of excess. Living a life of excess. You know, God has given us so many good things in this world. He's given us so many things, but did you know that you can abuse the gifts that God has given to you? God has given us food. He's given us marriage, and what a great gift that marriage is. He's given us rest. He's given us all of these things, but did you know that you can abuse those things and trip over the goodness of God and stumble? Go outside the boundaries of what God has set up for us and abuse the good things that He's given to us. Plenty of people that abuse food, aren't there? Yeah. Good thing, but too much of a good thing is sometimes a bad thing. How about rest? Boy, some people think they need, 13, 14 hours of sleep a night. That's a little bit too much rest. Boy, don't abuse the goodness of God. Same thing with marriage. Boy, marriage is a great thing if you stay within the boundaries that God has set. You go outside of those boundaries and you're going to trip and fall and stumble. The Word of God will keep you from stumbling. Another thing that I thought about that people can stumble over, and that's unbelief and skepticism. Unbelief and skepticism. You know, that ought not to be said about a regenerate person, that they're not believing or that they're skeptical of the Word of God, but yet there's people who leave the faith because they were skeptical. They got offended about something that the Bible said, and they quit going to church, and they left the faith, and they stumbled over the Word of God. They didn't like what the Word of God has to say. You know what? That was the problem with the Jews in the days of Jesus Christ. They stumbled over something that should have been a foundation and a stepping stone for them. And it was the Word of God. Could have been their foundation, but yet they stepped over it and they tripped over it and they fell flat on their face because of their unbelief in the Word of God. Well, the Word of God ought to be a foundation for us. A stepping stone and a foundation. God commands belief in His Word and trust in His Word. The Word of God will light your way so that you can continue down the path and go the right way and not stumble. Now, we're all headed down a path, and the Word of God will lead us to the end of our destination. We're talking about a finishing power. It gives us light to lead to our destination in a dark world. If you're on a path, it has an end. It has a destination. We're not just wandering around in this world without an end or without a destination. There is something at the end of our destination. Every path has a destination. Every one of them. The road that we're on determines our destination. And everyone in this world, in this room, is on a road or a path, and you have a destination. Everyone. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. You're on a road, and there's a destination at the end of it. Did you know that the light of the Word of God can lead us to our destination? What kind of path are you on here this evening? What would characterize your path tonight? Would it be righteousness? Would it be holiness? Would it be trust in God? What would it be? Would it be fornication? Would it be unrighteousness? Would it be sin and evil and destruction? What would it be? You thought about your path. Solomon said again in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, "But the path of the just is as a shining light, and it shines more and more into the perfect day." More and more to the perfect day. That's the end of your destination. That's the end of your path. It's a path of light. And it shines to that perfect day. We're going to meet God. We're going to see Him in heaven one of these days. But on the contrast, it says, "The way of wickedness is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble again." God is leading His children down the path. And He's lighting the way with the Word of God. Think about the nation of Israel and how they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Man, they had no compass, they had no GPS, they had none of these things. The only thing that they had was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And they were wandering around, and they had a destination at the end of that wandering. And it was called Canaan's land. It was called the Promised Land. They had a destination, and God was leading. That's the only thing that they had. They could not have found that destination without God. God was the one who was leading them along and showing them the way. They had a destination, and it was God. God led them that way. Their moral compass and moral guide, which led them in the way of righteousness, was the law of God. God gave them the law, and He redeemed them as a peculiar people to them, and led them to the Promised Land. What about we as the people of God? We're here in this land, this desert dry land. And we're characterized as pilgrims here upon this earth just wandering around, but did you know that we have a destination? We're going somewhere. And God is leading us. God has redeemed us, and we're on a journey here in this world. God has given us the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds and to show us which way to go. And we sing the song about our destination. The song that we sing says, I am bound for the promised land, Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. That's our destination. The Spirit of God is leading us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, yes, they are the sons of God. It's the Spirit of God that is leading us and guiding us in this desert land that we call this world that we're in. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us and directs us and prods us along and convicts us of our sins? The defining characteristic about a Christian who is regenerate is that they are led by the Spirit of God. That defines our life. At least it ought to. Again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Thank God that we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us in this world. The Bible says of Enoch that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Oh, he had a path, didn't he? He was walking with God and he reached his destination, and it was with God. The Word of God lights our path and helps us to reach our destination. Gives us finishing power. Final thought I'd like to for us to leave with this evening is this, that the Word of God alone cannot do all of these wonderful things for us. Just because we have a Bible sitting on our shelf, just because we have a Bible under our arm, does not mean that it's going to benefit us. We have to get the Word of God on the inside of us, but we need a couple of things that I saw from the text here. The first thing is we need the author of the Scriptures to teach us. We need God. God must make His Word powerful to us. Just having Bible knowledge is not sufficient. Just having it in your head or in your arm or something like that, we ought to carry it, we ought to memorize it, we ought to have it in our head, but we must have God to teach us. The psalmist says in verse number 107, he says, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. He talks to God and he says, God, I need some help. Would you quicken me? Would you help me? Second thing he asked God was, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. He said in verse number 108, he said, teach me thy judgments. I need the author of the book to help me out. It's not the Word of God just by itself. It is the author of the Scripture that helps us and leads us and guides us. God must teach us. It is the Spirit of God that leads us and guides us. Just like you have a lamp, an oil lantern or something like that is not going to shine if you don't have the oil in it. You have to have the oil as well. The Holy Spirit of God is the oil in the lamp. We must have that. The second thing that I'd like to draw your attention to is not only God, but you must have determination. You must have determination. He says in verse number 112, he says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. He says, I'm going to keep going all the way to the end. I'm going to keep going. He says, and I have inclined my heart to keep your word and perform your statutes. I am determined to obey God. Determination. Do you have determination this evening to obey God's word and to finish your course with joy? We have to have determination to finish the race. We can't be lazy. We can't be lackadaisical. We have to have determination, just as the psalmist did. Paul the apostle says, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those also that love his appearing. He had determination. Do you have determination this evening? We have the light. It's at our disposal. Are you utilizing it? Are you determined to finish your course and obey the Word of God all the days of your life? You can do it, and I can do it. We can do it. We have help from God. Thank you for being here this evening. That's all the message is tonight. And so